Lord, send thy angels to lead us. Send thy angels to teach us. Send thy angels to inspire what we shall say, what we shall think, what we shall do. The words to the anthem that the choir just sang, and there's an interesting story behind this song, kind of like Kim's story about the Tiffany windows in the barn. I think it was about 10 years ago, but it was sometime in the 1990s, that someone in this church was going through the music archives, and they found a copy of an old song that was written in the 1950s by someone who was a member of the church, this church at that time. It was called Swedenborg's Prayer. We dusted it off. Choir sang it again. The congregation was captivated by it. Does it say on it Swedenborg's favorite prayer or just Swedenborg's prayer?
Prayer?
Swedenborg's prayer. Somehow it became in our mind Swedenborg's favorite prayer. And we even had it printed on these beautiful special coffee mugs that some of you may still have. Then Reverend Jim and I got thinking and saying, you know what? We never heard of this prayer before. In our study, we didn't know this was Swedenborg's favorite prayer or a prayer. And we did some research. We actually couldn't find it in any of the biographies or any of the information about Swedenborg. And so then we asked those who would really know everything about Swedenborg, our former professors. They hadn't heard of this prayer either. So then we came to think that perhaps it was written very much with Swedenborg in mind, but that somehow there was poetic license in taking it. And then, Thursday night, I found in Swedenborg's book, Heaven and Hell, says paragraph 228, but I can't remember if it's 208 or 228, but it's the words in your worship program. It's pretty much the words of the song. So Swedenborg did write these words a few hundred years ago. We pray that God may send us angels to lead us, direct our steps, teach us, and inspire us in what to think, what to say, and other like things. All of you who have ever been to this church before know that Emanuel Swedenborg was a great man of science, and that he prayed devoutly every day. You've heard me say before, I quoted a Stanford research study that said that Swedenborg is one of the most brilliant people to have ever lived. And he believed in angels. He spoke of angels. He wrote about angels, especially in a wonderful volume called Heaven and Hell. This morning I want to tell you just a little bit, piggybacking on what Reverend Kim had to say to the children, who angels are. And then I want to tell you, describe to you four ways that angels help us. And these descriptions come directly from Robert Kirvin's book, Angels in Action, what Swedenborg saw and heard from the first chapter of Bob Kirvin's book. Bob Kirvin was one of my dear professors when I was in seminary. So first about angels. Like Reverend Kim said, angels, as Swedenborg describes them, were once people, once human beings, living on this planet or another planet, but coming from the physical world. Angels are messengers. They are messengers of divine love, divine wisdom, and of power for goodness. And each one of us, surrounded by angels all the time. And we especially have near us and around us angels who have similar values, goals, and attitudes that we ourselves have. And yet, fortunately, they're farther along the path than we are. And these angels seek to lead us, and to teach us, and to guide us. But with one very, very important point always in place that Swedenborg emphasizes again and again and again. And that is that we are always left in freedom, each one of us, to choose our way. Why? Because we have a job to do on this earth. And that is to become ourselves messengers of love, messengers of wisdom, messengers of power for good. We are here on this earth to become angels, angels in the making. Bob Kirvan described, again in the first chapter of his book, Angels in Action, what Swedenborg saw and heard, describes four specific ways that angels help us, that angels help humanity. There are many, many more ways indeed. Four. First is, angels help us to make the transition from this world to the next. Angels help us when it's time to die. Sometimes we can begin to feel their helpings before we die. And always after we die, when we find ourselves waking up in the spiritual world, there are particularly sensitive angels there who help us with this transition to awaken into this new dimension of reality. As a minister, one of the greatest privileges of my role is to be with people as they're close to dying. And I have countless stories I could share with you. There's one in particular that comes to my mind this day. It's a story of a woman who I met 15 years ago. And I met her in her last weeks of life. She was in her early 30s. She herself was a scientist. She had contracted AIDS and was dying. I had some talks with her, and upon first meeting me, she made it clear that she actually wasn't a religious person, and she did not believe in any life beyond the life of the physical world. One afternoon as we were speaking, she told me that earlier that morning, she had heard a knock. She was at home. She had heard a knock on the door. She explained it wasn't the door of the house. There was a knock on the door. And I asked her who it was. She said it was Sarah. I said, who's Sarah? Well, Sarah, she said, was someone from my support group, from her support group of women who were dying of AIDS. I asked her to tell me more about Sarah. And it turns out that this woman, whose name was Rebecca, had helped Sarah, especially. They had a close connection as Sarah was dying. And Sarah had died several months before. And so Rebecca said to me, Sarah's knocking at the door. Should I let her in? I said, Rebecca, that's up to you. Rebecca decided to let Sarah in and allowed Sarah to continue her role as a member of the support group, women who were dying. help make her transition a little smoother, a little more understandable, a little easier. One way that angels help us is they help us through all the big transitions in life, including leaving this world and going to the next. They also help us on the other side of things. We're newborn babies. Swedenborg says that we are surrounded by the most especially loving angels. He calls them celestial angels. Our time of birth, our early weeks and months in this world. These angels have a special divine love and wisdom that we then are able to connect with on an unconscious level. Many people had the blessing of having parents who mirrored that angelic love. And for those who did not have the blessing of having parents who were able to mirror that deep love, they still had the angels themselves. And this can help us understand why some people can be so wise and so loving when they had such difficult beginnings on this earth. The presence of these angels in our early lives also help us understand why, when we are dying and have died and waking up in the spiritual world, why we feel a comfort immediately with these angelic presences, most people, because something in us recognizes them and remembers. Also helps to understand why so many of us are so totally captivated by newborn babies. We want to be near and close to them and feel that special love that is with them, that is within them and around them. Angels also help us throughout our lives whenever we need help, whenever we ask for it sincerely, and when we open ourselves to receiving. It's not always the help we want. It's not always the answers we want. It doesn't always come in the form that we want. But it is there. And it is just what we need to help us through whatever it is that we're facing. Three short stories about this. First comes from my father. It's when he was married and had six kids, me included, and we were on a road trip from Florida to New England. Both of my mother's parents had died when she was in her early 20s, and my father's father had died recently before this event that my father was describing. And he was feeling a little overwhelmed and burdened by the responsibility that he was shouldering and carrying. And he remembers thinking on this drive, what if the car breaks down? Who would I call? That night, sleeping, he had a dream. And he dreamed that he was driving along the road up north, heading up north, with a car full of all of us. And he noticed over to the side of the road, there was a great big tractor, and there was a man, strong and robust man, driving the tractor. And my dad looks at the man, and the man looks at him and smiles. And it's then that my dad recognizes him. It's his father. A younger, more robust version of the man he was used to seeing, but it was his father. And my father woke up from that dream, knowing deep down inside that his father was there for him. in just the ways that he would need. Second story about angels being there when we need them is a little more playful. It comes from, I sent out an email to you, letting you know what the topic of today's message would be. And one person sent back an email with stories from 8- and 9-year-old kids about angels. She said, see if there's anything you could use here for Sunday. 2 just warm-ups. And then 3 short ones that describe about angels, how we can, how they help us. But the warm-ups from Molly, age 8. I hear angels all the time in my dreams, and I'm sticking with that no matter how many people tell me I'm crazy. And then Olive, age 9. Everybody's got it all wrong. Angels don't wear halos anymore. I forget why, but scientists are working on it. 8-year-old Henry said, my guardian angel helps me with math, but he's not much good for science. And then 2 more. Vicky, age 8. Some of the angels are in charge of helping heal sick animals and pets. And if they don't make the animals get better, they help the kids get over it. And then Caitlin, age 9. My angel is my grandma, who died last year. She got a big head start on helping me while she was still down here on Earth. We can all get a big head start on helping each other while we're down here on Earth. So one last little story about angels helping us. This is from my life from a number of years ago. Can't remember how many. But it's when I was driving a motorcycle. Some of you have heard some of my motorcycle stories. This was when I had a Honda 360. And I was driving down the freeway between Santa Rosa and Petaluma. And going probably about the speed limit, hopefully, all of a sudden I just felt an uneasy sense. I don't know if I actually felt a wobble or if I thought I felt a wobble. But I slowed down immediately and started pulling over into the breakdown lane. And then my back tire blew. Not a good thing when you only have 2 tires in the first place. I was going so slowly at that point that I was able to keep the bike up. Right. Though I was quite shaken. Within 30 seconds, a pickup truck pulled over in front of me. 2 guys got out. They had a ramp in the back of their pickup truck. And they had the knowledge, the desire, and the strength to help me. In moments, they just whipped that bike up the ramp into their pickup truck, tied it in, drove me to the Honda dealer in Petaluma. That's the end of that story. Except that that was a long time ago. And I still remember that experience. Angels come in many forms, all sizes and shapes and ages. They come from within us and among us, and from beyond us. They are here to help us. 4th way that angels help us, in Bob Kirkman's description. They help us celebrate. Angels feel joy to an exponential degree of what we are capable of feeling. But when something happens, large or small, that makes our hearts sing, that touches us, that makes us happy, the angels are happy too. And their happiness touches us in such a way that our joy grows and expands. and fills us to the degree that we will let it. Lord, send thy angels to lead us. Send thy angels to teach us. Send thy angels to inspire us what we shall say, what we shall think, and what we shall do. Amen. Thank you.